So, welcome to this session. I'm here today with Michelle. Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Hi.
You
Good,
okay?
I'm doing good.
Little nervous like
Yes,
me.
a little bit,
Let's just pretend it's just us two.
no. Sure.
So, we were talking about before we started recording the subject that you wanted to look at today was well, do you want to just get us started by sort of mentioning what you had, what you sent in your email and that type of thing.
Sure, I had said in the email that I was just having trouble between finding peace, like in an experience, be like experientially in meditation or in self-inquiry, and then, or especially when I try to look for the self, like I can't find it. It brings me some sense of calm, but then when I go back into any kind of like routine or my life, I'm right back into like I can't have what I want, or it's easier for other people, those stories, something like that.
And I think that's a very it's a good subject to discuss. And again, we were saying before that it's quite one of the worst places, I think, because you might have tasted some peace inside our meditation when we're sitting, and then we're going about the rest of our day when we could really use that peace. We can't seem to kind of access it, you know. We could really we could live our life differently if we were kind of cushioned with that. So I'm glad you brought it forward because it's an important subject.
I agree.
Yeah. So is there a particular set of emotions that comes up or thoughts about something in particular that seems to kind of, you know, certain situations, certain stories come up? Is there a theme to them? You don't need to tell us the ins and outs of what they are if they're private, but
I think it's just this feeling of like I've missed out, like life's passed me by, and then I start comparing to other people that, like, my one, I have a really close friend that's always happy, but her life externally always, I know this sounds terrible to say, it looks great, and I know that's not really fair, it could change it tomorrow, but it's hard for me because then I start thinking, you know, she always says, like, oh, you and your spiritual quest, but why don't you just, you know, be happy because you have this or have that, and I can't seem to do it, you know, like, I think it's more like just sadness. And I don't want to say it's jealousy. It doesn't really feel like jealousy. It just feels more like disappointment and anxiety. Like I'm a very anxious person. So I
Yeah.
guess it's a mixture of that.
And it is hard. I remember watching people who were successful financially when I just really wasn't, quite the opposite. I was in a lot of debt, and it might not, sometimes it was jealousy, but for me it was more, what am I missing out on? I can't seem to figure this out. So it switched between disappointment and sadness to self-blame, and then back around again a few times. You know, everyone else seems to have figured this out and I can't, you know, some sense like that. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, like I'm always trying to fix something like big. Like I'm about to have weight loss surgery this summer, just to give an example. And that's like the highlight of my life. Whereas, like, the people I surround myself with are like everything's stable in my life. Not to say that couldn't change in my world, the human condition, but you know, it's like they already have their houses, they have their cars, things are getting paid off. They're just calm. And I'm like, well, it's hard to compare myself to you because I feel like I'm 42, but I'm living like 25, you know, like with the feel of the things I feel like I haven't done. It's just weird because I can bring all the anxiety and sadness down when I sit quietly, but then, like I said, then I'm just like, oh, never mind, there is Michelle and she is, you know, struggling and
Yeah.
feel sorry for her. Something like that.
So first thing I want to look at is and this comparison mechanism that we have in our mind, it's very common. You know, you see someone and you compare yourself to them. And especially if it's someone that seems to have what you want, that's human nature, isn't it? Or the mind at least, to want to do that. And the first, one of the things that became apparent to me as I got deeper into this was firstly that everyone is suffering, even if they don't look like it. You know, the happy person with their life that seems to be all intact, you know, is not always going to be, it's not always going to be so obvious that they're suffering as well. Or maybe they found ways to distract themselves that don't work for us anymore. You know, that to me was more evident because fear for me, anxiety, fear was just always on the edge of my experience, you know, like it would just bubble up. And I'm sure you know it's not a pleasant thing at all. And,
No.
you know, one of the things I've realized that might help to start off with is that you might struggle with things that these other people want because you're on this pathway, because what you want is bigger than what they want. I'm not judging their desires, but their desires probably stop at a nice life, a nice house, a nice career, family, you know, that kind of thing. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that, but your desires are a bit bigger, you know. You're wanting truth. And that's gonna make it harder for you to tolerate living as a someone. Do you get the sense of it?
Yeah, I see that.
They can kind of deal
It
with
kind of
that.
felt like the more, yes, sorry, it kind of felt
That's
like the
okay.
more that I was feeling like peaceful when I would sit, like, you know, in the beginning, I think I even asked, how do you know what to ask? And then as the time is going on, I realize it just kind of forms, you know, like what to ask. But I'll sit and I'll lose track of time. And I don't really have a sense, I can't say I get a sense of joy, but I like that peace, I'm not trying to say I would do it all day, but it's just that feeling of like I wasn't able to find that before. You know, I was just reading about what somebody else told me, and there was a point to this. The reason I brought that up was because I feel like after it got a little bit easier to do that, then it got like you're harder. Because I was telling my cousin, I was like, I just feel like at the core of me, it feels like something is just wrong, you know, like, which is not a great feeling. And she's like, what do you mean? Aren't you meditating? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's what's bringing it up.
Yeah. So when you start to I think most people on a spiritual pathway have just at least on a awakening journey have felt it hard to kind of fit in with what other people usually want, as we were just saying. But then when you have started to taste some peace and quietness and a little bit of contentment, it might not have blossomed into joy and love yet, and that's okay, but what the effect that that has, the moment you start to taste some peace, is that your desire for it intensifies massively. So you get a taste of it, of course you want more of it, right? And then of course you want it all the time, like we're having this conversation about. It's natural that the moment you taste this place where everything seems to be okay, even when it's, you know, going to hell in your physical world, life's going everywhere. So can you start by accepting that the desire for this has really increased? Like the reason you can't tolerate living the other way is because there's this massive desire.
Yes, yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
So, if you can accept that, then really the work then is to look at why we feel this desire can't happen. Okay, and what's going to happen as soon as we want this peace and love and joy, and we really let ourselves want it, and we can't help that once you've tuned into it a little bit. And even if you've got used to it in your formal meditation when you're sitting, naturally, without it, it's not even a conscious thing. You're going to want more of it, and that desire is going to get really strong. And to allow that to manifest, you're going to have to look at the things that are coming up right now, this feeling that there's something wrong with you, right? It's like right in the core of our separate sense of someone, isn't it? This sense that there's something fundamentally wrong with who you are. And it was the same for me, this feeling that if you really knew me, you'd run a mile. You know, not
Yeah.
the face I was putting on, but if I really let you in, some kind of deep shame in there, something like that. Does that kind of sound familiar?
It does, yeah. And I
And
feel like there's a discomfort, even when I was like feeling excited the other day, it's like the excitement feels almost kind of like anxiety, like sick. And I'm like, I don't know if that's new or it feels heightened, I guess, just to support what you were saying. Like, I think it makes sense now. A
yeah.
little bit more sense.
So then this, you could look at this sense, let's call it sense of being flawed, just for want of a better, you know, just so we can. So this sense is coming up now. And as it comes up, if you can just do your best to notice it, sometimes you're going to buy it, identify with it, right? And go off down that road for however long. Sometimes you're going to be able to just notice it a bit more. But the key to that feeling, to transcending it once and for all, is noticing that you don't want to feel that. Can you feel when that sense arises? There's this kind of, I don't want to, you know, something inside.
Yes.
And that's the thing there that's keeping everything in place. So it's not actually even this feeling that's arising. It's a sense that I don't want to look at it. Because that's quite, you know, we've used this analogy before. I think you might have heard of holding this beach ball down under the water. You know, and that's what we're doing when we're like, I don't want to look at this, because it's trying to come up and leave.
Okay. Yeah, I can totally acknowledge that.
And that's why that kind of sick excitement energy you were talking about, that's why it feels like that, because we're not letting things flow. We're kind of, you know, like this energetically, like, so that we, because we don't want to feel that. Of course, we don't want to feel that. We don't want to look at it. But let's look, if you want to, at why we don't want to look at that. What does our mind say is going to happen when you really let yourself feel not good enough? What's going to happen then?
I guess it feels like it kind of, I can't, what comes to me is that it kind of validates why things are a mess, and therefore they will stay a mess, because you're, you know, seeing that you're the problem, or you're not good enough, or whatever the words are in that moment.
Yeah, so if I let myself actually feel this, I'll find out it's true. So something like that, isn't it, at the bottom of it? And it was the same when I was looking at this. I got this unwillingness to look at it, because I can't cope. If I look at this and see that it's true, that my life's a mess, and it's all my awakening's a mess, and, you know, finances, everything was upside down at the time for me. If I look at this and find out it's true, then I'll have nowhere to go from that. That I'll just collapse or be destroyed by it. Something like that.
Like, so relate to that.
Yeah. So, and I'm sure a lot of beings can, and you've been so brave suggesting this topic, because it affects all of us. I've never really met a person without this going on inside them. I know that doesn't help you right now.
But it does. I'm glad to know that, not that other people are struggling, but, you know, that you're not like the only one that can't, you know.
It's a human.
Sometimes I do feel like I'm like going back and forth, because I thought I was finally getting somewhere with the idea that I could actually experience something instead of just always, you know, reading a book and then feeling better for 10 minutes and going, you know, right back in. But it's like, I believe everything has to be a long, arduous process.
So that's an interesting thing you say there. Why does it need to be long and arduous? You know, when I looked at that, I got some very surprising answers. And it's been our experience, hasn't it? This whole awakening journey has been very long and arduous. So could that be a way to reinforce your sense on an egoic level, your sense of not being good enough, if this journey is really long and really hard?
Yes, definitely. That lines up.
It has to be really long and really hard, or else we might accidentally break through, something like that. And that keeps happening in meditation. I accidentally break through and then, you know, back out again. So maybe the way to fix this is easier than we might think, but hard to see, you know, because we what delayed me in this was, okay, now I have to feel good enough. And then I realized I spent a lot of time and energy trying to improve myself, as I'm sure you have, and, you know, ended up just having more experiences of not being good enough. So you can't actually change that, because you're not actually unworthy. Can you hear me okay? Because I'm just getting a little bit of
No,
feedback.
yeah, no, I
Yeah,
can.
cool.
No,
Just
yeah,
wanted to double check.
I can. Yeah.
So maybe you don't even have to look at that, just to look at the unwillingness to see it. Like for me, I went to this place inside where, okay, if I finally feel this and find out it's true, I'll be destroyed, but at least I'll know, rather than feeling this terrible dread of what if. And it was almost like a sense of relief. Like, if I get destroyed by this, if it's true and I'm crushed, at least I won't have to even try to awaken anymore because there'll be no reason to even continue. I know it sounds like a weird thought process, but it was the way that I came to acceptance of, like, okay, I'm just going to actually feel this when it comes up. Get a sense of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense that you would need to think that way to get to be able to do that, I think.
And
To
added
acknowledge
to,
this risk or whatever. Acknowledge the risk you think there is in it or something like that. Yeah.
yeah, if I actually look at what I think might happen, might go wrong, maybe I can't experience that then. Right. So wherever I go inside my own consciousness in my thinking, I don't have to actually experience that in an outer way. So if I'm willing to face the fact it might be true, I'll find out it isn't. If I'm not willing, I have to keep wondering, is it true I'm not good enough?
I see. I haven't really ever asked it that way or, sat with it like that.
Yeah. And of course, of course, it would only be in desperation that we'd really actually look at that, But for me, I just got so very tired of spending so much energy pushing this feeling away, knowing it was only going to come back. And even when I was feeling peace in meditation, or feeling good in any way, I couldn't enjoy it because I knew it was going to come to an end. And I got so tired of that. It's like, come on then, let's just have it out. Let's actually look at this thing, and if I'm a complete failure, I'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to get to the point where you just like face it instead of going back and forth because it's, exhausting. I don't know if that's the right word, but
It is exhausting. It costs a lot of energy, doesn't it, to keep doing this? Yeah. Especially as the desire is increasing every time you feel peace, of course, the desire gets bigger for that to be constant and effortless. So it's costing more and more energy by the day to kind of keep this ball under the water. So, okay, I'm just going to let go of it and see what happens. If it splashes up in my face, so be it. I'll deal with that. And can that be actually any worse than how you're feeling right now, anyway, most of the time?
yeah, probably not. I think that's, yeah, exactly.
That's the amazing thing I actually finally saw. Like, I'm not looking at this thing in case it makes me feel terrible, but I actually feel terrible anyway all the time, anxious,
Yes.
angry, like a failure, all the things that my mind says,
Relate
don't
to.
look at this because this is how you'll feel.
And like when you looked at it, do you look at it as like just unworthiness, or like would it be just when the anger's there, when the sadness is there? Because it's kind of all the same thing, right? Like I feel like sometimes it's like sadness and sometimes it's anger, but it's coming from the same belief, I guess, or some underlying.
For me, it was this big ball of anger, shame, fear, and sadness, so kind of a grief feeling almost, that there's just no way to even get beyond this. So here's the really cool thing that happened. The side, the shortcut to all this was when I reached that point of willingness to actually look at it, it disappeared. And I was like, oh my God, because I'd been so convinced I was going to have to work up the courage to actually go through it and feel it. But actually, what was holding it in place was only my unwillingness to look at it. It's like, no. And I was having to do this more and more and more. And I finally went, all right, then let's have at it. It was able to just lift anyway, because that was me letting go of the ball.
Right. Well, that's
I know your mind's probably saying, yeah, right, this can't be that easy, but
to hope.
if we reach a place inside, however we get to that place of being willing to look at something, then we'll realize that what we've actually been suffering from is the amount of energy it costs to push it away, not the actual thing itself.
Okay, see that.
You can kind of feel it on some level, right? That there's, you're having to divide yourself to do this. Here's me and what I don't want to look at. And that's the core division that keeps us feeling separate, like a separate being.
That, yeah, definitely. It definitely reinforces that for sure. And that like alone feeling, like all that stuff that you say you can't find when you look for it in the balance, yeah.
Yeah, here's how we recreate that separate being in the moment. Here's how we buy the story again. But it's not the story we think. It's not, I'm not good enough now, or I'm flawed. It's, I can't look at this. It's too big, or something like that. It's a subtle story about the story, the way that we're holding. And for me, that was a huge breakthrough, because I realized I could actually look at that. I didn't have to climb any mountains.
That's a big deal, I think.
It's pivotal for me, because there were so many things I didn't want to look at. And I'm sure there's a whole laundry list that you've got too, like everyone has. And that breakthrough for me was it actually realizing it's all about my willingness. It's not even about the other karmic patterns. It's about, what don't I want to look at and why? What's that story?
That, yeah, I never
Yes.
really thought of it like that. I just, sorry.
It's
Speaking of cats that are really nosy, no, I was gonna say, like, I feel like I don't really look at it like that. I'm always like, the emotion just seems to be there so fast that I'm like, oh, here we go again, and I can like stop myself, but I have to actually like stand somewhere and close my eyes for a couple seconds, and then sometimes I can shift out of it, which is still good compared to how I used to be, but I can't seem to. I never thought to question, like, why I don't want to, or like why I'm unwilling or to look at all that. Like, that really didn't come up. I didn't think of it that way.
It's really normal, and when the heat of that emotion comes up,
Sorry,
she wants you on
she's
the
like
sofa.
determined to be involved. Okay, she
My
goes
cats are like that, right? I've got one down here trying to climb on me right now. So,
in.
if you can see that's the thing that's holding it in place, it starts to feel better, even just because of that there's something that wants to break out of that, and it feels more possible than having to face this massive anger ball of fear, whatever it is, sadness, fear, all of that. So can you notice that you might feel slightly different, even just realizing it's not about what I thought it was? Of course, of course, if it seems an impossible task, I'll feel terrible.
Yeah, because it's kind of like when all that is coming up, the resistance is really what actually is in place at that point. Right? That's kind of what I'm thinking, feeling now. Even though you might think, oh, I'm sad or anger, or maybe I'm jealous, it's like I don't really let myself feel that stuff. Like, I find, a way to like to resist it, or even distract it, I guess.
So there's the very literal experience of, I can't look at this. I have to push it away, or find somewhere to distract myself, or I might even meditate to get away from it, but anything but actually really feel it. So so just noticing, all we need to do now then is to keep reminding ourselves, it's not about what I think it is. And it might actually be a lot easier than I thought. You don't even have to actually look at the emotion, just to look at how you're holding the emotions. And that's a different thing, isn't it? What's my What's my attitude, my way of being with this thing? And can I just look at that? Do I have to resist it so much? You know, not.
Yeah, I haven't really done that. So that's,
Does that give you kind of a way forward that you might not have? You don't even have to
No,
look
I
at
didn't.
this huge thing that your mind says you do, you know? That's the thing that's been tricking us.
Yeah, because I do. It definitely does feel like overwhelming because you start buying into this idea that, like, you have to face every single like horrible thing you've ever felt or experienced or thought of yourself, and then you're like, oh wait, maybe I can't do this,
Yeah.
or not that it's a process or that you have to do something, but you know what I mean. That's how the mind says it. Like you have to.
And that's how mine keeps you from looking at anything, because it just says it's just too big, just too big. I can't possibly look at everything that I've never wanted to really feel, you know. But that's from the idea that it's going to be awful. Because we've had that experience, because looking at something was terrible, it felt terrible, because that's the idea, you know, this is lesson two. If I come to this emotion with the expectation it's going to be terrible, then I have to experience it that way.
Seems that way.
So maybe just, is there some way that you can remind yourself every now and again, if you have a journal or you know, your GP buddy, if you have one too, remind you, are you looking at the right thing here? Because the tendency is going to be to go back into this old pattern of thinking you have to battle this yourself, this big mountain. Even some sticky post-it notes, you know, where it's gonna, you know, where you're gonna find them and go, it's a lot simpler than I think.
Yeah, I think I can remind you. I actually do put sticky notes to remind myself of things so I can add that. And like, would you think of like asking something like, what am I unwilling to see, or why am I unwilling to be, like something like that? Like, kind of.
Yeah, and just, you know, what's this unwillingness about, and do I still need this unwillingness? And for me, just to look at, when I was going through this stage, a sense of just noticing that I buy the mind's reason why I shouldn't look at this. I kind of automatically, so if I can bring some light to, maybe it's actually going to be a lot easier than I think. Remind myself I don't actually have to let this, I don't have to deal with this emotion. Maybe it's just going to go straight up through my system and leave. Which mine says, no way, you know, it's going to take weeks
Right.
and, you know, and it's going to be awful and you have to face everything that you've avoided. And, but it's all that kind of idea that's keeping it stuck in our system, and you can feel it with the anxiety, right? It's ricocheting around inside, this kind of intense energy, and it doesn't know what to do with it, and your heart's racing and, you know, all of that. So just looking at the unwillingness, and can I let that go now? Just a gentle question. I'd like to let that go now. I don't have to do anything to make it happen. I just would like to be willing. It's like really soft intention, isn't it? You don't have to climb a mountain here. Can you feel how nice that feels?
Yes. It does feel like a soft intention. That's a good way to put it.
But because as the self, which even if we only know that as the infinite self, the noumenon, even if we only know that intellectually, we know that whatever the self wants, it's going to get. So if I just gently intend, I'd like to soften my resistance around this. I'd like to be more willing. Even if I can't find that willingness now, I'd like to have that happen at some point. And that literally is where I would keep my focus if I were in your position. I'd like to change how I'm holding this. You know, whichever words work for you, but something very soft and gentle like that.
It does feel like, less intense.
It takes the pressure off you because you don't have to do anything then. You're just launching an intention. And that's just going to dissolve this unwillingness. And you're not forcing yourself into anything. You're just like I'd like to just kind of go a different path from here with it. That's all we're really saying, isn't it?
Yes. Different. That would be nice. Because I do feel like I get stuck, because I'm like, go back and forth, and then you start to wonder, like, why can't I? Just that typical, why can't I get it? That kind of a thing. I guess that's kind of normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be the other thing I'd say. So just gently intending, reminding yourself, I just need to, I won't just launch this intention, remind myself. But also forgiving yourself. You've been trying to fix a problem that you don't need to do. You don't need to even face this. No wonder you couldn't actually do it as the self. You can't prove to yourself that you're good enough because you never. Not good enough.
Oh, right, I see. Because when you think you're just the self, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. You're not going to be able to do that, right?
We've taken on mind's task and tried to do it. We can't do it as the infinite self. And then we blame ourselves. It's literally impossible for us to achieve feeling good enough, right?
Right.
Because we're starting from the assumption that we're not good enough. So we
Exactly.
try to fix this impossible problem and then blame ourselves over and over again when we can't do it.
Exactly.
So whether we call it self-love or surrender or forgiveness, just reminding yourself of that. It's not my problem to fix this. It's mine's issue, and I've been trying to fix it, and I'm just gonna forgive myself. Of course I couldn't do this. And then there's a softening anyway inside, some kind of, I thought this is what I had to do. And until I could see that this is actually what the issue is, I'm going to keep failing at this over and over. So what mind thinks is going to fix this is not, it's not going to work, but we don't know that until we know that.
Yeah, because I get stuck on like the emotion, like the thoughts I have are like, if you could just fix the external, then everything would be fine. But that's already, I've already proved to myself over just living that that doesn't really line up as being true. So.
And then if I can get awakened enough, that'll fix it too, right?
Oh,
This
yeah,
is,
that too.
yeah, the
Yeah,
inner one that
that
we do
too.
to ourselves, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then, and the only issue is that we're trying to handle this like a separate being would. I've got to look at this emotion, feel it, So, just looking at the unwillingness gently, gently, and forgiving yourself that it what you've been trying to do hasn't worked. It's never worked for any human being ever.
Imagine.
So mind says, if I don't look at this, it's going to go away. But it's the opposite. So all I can look at, the only choice I have is to kind of focus on my willingness. And maybe that's the key to the whole thing, We used to play this game of, I don't know if you have it there, but it's Jenga and it's these wooden blocks. And you put three and three and three, and you've got to pull one out. And you reach that point where everyone's had a go and it's all wobbly, and you pull one last one out, and the whole thing falls down.
Yes.
Oh, there's, I can't remember what kind of game it is, but it's where you slot all the things in, and when you pull one of them out, the whole thing. So we've been trying to pull the wrong one. Mine said this is the one to pull out. I mean, I can't do it, So come around here and pull this one, the willingness thing, and the whole thing collapses then.
Yeah, you wouldn't have, I wouldn't have thought that. Because of the way you, because of the thoughts that you have, you wouldn't really go there. Or at least I didn't. But like when you're having the emotions, you can do it then too. You can question like if you're in that story of like really identifying with your separate self and everything that's makes you feel like your life is, I don't want to say pointless, but like
Yeah.
sometimes pointless is actually less painful than some of the other things I feel.
Yes,
But you can kind of question it then, because there's like a lot of resistance there at that point.
yeah, just noticing, why don't I really want to go here? Just gently with yourself. Why don't I want to go there? Something like that. So noticing that, and then if you can, while you're caught up in the story, that's fine. If you can't, don't worry, but just look at it afterwards when you're a bit calmer, a bit more, you know, have a cup of tea or whatever. And while they were just noticing, there was a real, I don't want to feel this, you know, they're really noticing that, just non-judgmentally about yourself. Something arose as this emotion did to say, no, I don't want to. Just noticing that. And then what's that about? What's that feeling about there? Just really gently with yourself.
Okay. I get it. I was just making sure because I'm, no, I never mind. I answered my own question.
Wonderful. I think you've done amazing here just to kind of open up to something that's really not easy at all, especially when it comes with such negative emotion.
Yeah. Because I start getting like so discouraged because I keep having this thought that like there's only but so many chances you have to like find peace, or like, I don't know, if I don't really usually use the term awakening, but that idea that, you know, to rise kind of always makes me think of A Course in Miracles when it says like above the battleground, you know, just like that idea of coming out of the thinking like, and I always think like, well, if this doesn't work, then you have nothing because there's nothing left to try, you know. And I think that's definitely a block too. It's like, well, no wonder if you think that, like, you know, like you kind of said before, if whatever you see is too terrifying, or it's kind of that same idea, just feel like this is, be careful with this because this is all you have, and you know, and otherwise you'll be stuck as this person that sucks. You know, not, I know that sounds terrible, but
no, I've been right there, and you know, this is the last one in my toolkit of things to try, but I almost don't want to try it in case that doesn't work either, because then I'm really screwed, you know. And I'm stuck with this life as a separate being forever, you know, it feels like, doesn't it? So I totally understand that. And it was such a huge relief. That's why I'm so glad you brought this forward. It was such a huge relief when I realized I've been trying, not in any wrong way, I've been trying to fix it a way that could never work. And that was a relief in itself. And of course I failed at that because it's not my job, actually. That's mine's job.
Yeah, that I can see that now.
Usually most of us at this point have a story running about our karmic patterns. You know, the ones that we still haven't managed to fix. The one that we really believe this should be gone by now, or I'm obviously not doing something right, or else it would be gone.
Yes.
And that's the one we really buy with intensity. I'm never going to get beyond this. Everything I've tried has failed. It's easier. And of course, these aren't like conscious thoughts. Sometimes they are, but usually it's just a really heavy feeling in our body. You know, just what's the point even in trying to do this? It's not going to work, you know, something like that.
No, I think that I get, yeah. I feel that. Sometimes I feel like I think that, like, because I know it's like everybody has these thoughts in different ways, but I always feel like I can't, like I have like some issues where like the diagnoses where I can't manage my everyday life, and I'm like, I can't manage my emotions and I can't manage my tasks. And it's like, because that's something somebody said to me a long time ago, like your everyday life shouldn't be something you want to escape, you know, it's not always going to be exciting. And I always think, well, this is why I'm miserable, because I can't even do that. Kind of like you're a bad person, you know, like you're really extra failing compared to, not just that you don't have money, but like, or that you don't have, you know, like the things that you maybe want. It's like beyond that, like at the core. So sometimes I feel like
the person that said that to you wasn't on the path.
Yeah, because I do want to escape it, and that's not the right way to probably say it, like escape it, but yeah, like
that's a very valid thing. I've never met anyone that succeeded at awakening that didn't want to escape life as they thought it was, as a separate being. And it's that very urge to escape that is going to launch you out of it. Without that, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, right? So,
right.
But of course, someone who's not ready to kind of come out of that yet might find life quite satisfying. Like we start, you know, I have enough money, I can pay my bills, My family's going really well. I've just got a new promotion at work.
A new promotion at work.
You know.
Right.
So judge yourself for feeling that you can't cope with your everyday life. You know, that has to be where we start. I mean, why would we end up in satsang anyway?
Why
Otherwise.
would you, right? And I know there's been a time in my life where I was younger and, you know, like all the things that my mind or the world tells me, I guess it's my thinking, like, you know, I was thin, I had a little bit more control on the money, and I woke up very, like, just in terror and dissatisfaction almost every day. And on paper, you know, my life shouldn't have been like that in my head. So it kind of has proven to me that this obsession I have with, like, well, if I can just get a house, or if I can just get the weight off, you know, that can just be a better separate self, and then I won't have to like find this that I can't seem to find. Like, does that make sense? That's kind of where the belief is, I guess.
When I was diagnosed with my depression, I was in my 20s, and I had three wonderful children, a relationship that was really good. I wasn't like abundant or anything, but I could pay my bills at least, which was different, you know, for me. Wasn't always that way. And there was no reason for me in an outer way to feel that way. And I remember having some counseling at the time, and the woman just said something to me that saved my life. She said, "There doesn't need to be a reason."
Right.
And it was so healing. Later, I saw actually, I can't cope with being a separate being. That's what I can't cope with. And there's a reason for that, why I have such inability to just get on with that, with life as a separate being. And I should think that pretty much everyone feels that when they end up on this journey.
Yeah,
But we take that
definitely.
personally. We go, why can't I just fit in like everyone else, you know? And then it turns
Yeah.
spirals into like self-hatred eventually, something like that. So.
Yes, exactly. Because now I feel like my life doesn't look very good on paper, but yet I feel like I'm more inclined to believe, if that's a thing, to believe more now that I don't have to see it this way. Whereas before, I always felt like there was no other option, you know.
In fact, it's like it's the password into enlightenment, you know, not coping with life as a someone. That's your ticket into awakening, you know. How that shows up for us, it might be, for me, it was not enough money, overeating, depression, you know, all these raging emotions. I had binge eating for a while, you know, well, for a long while. I didn't realize what that was even until later. So, you know, how it shows up for each of us is different, but that core feeling inside is, I just don't like me. I can't abide me or who I think I am, something like that. And you look around you, everyone else that's not called towards truth yet, and they seem to be doing okay somehow, you
Yeah,
know, not having
it
this
does feel
existential crisis like we find ourselves having.
right. No, and I've even, like, over the years, not so much now, but over the years, I've had people say, like, "Will you just stop it already? You're wasting your life looking, seeking, and that seek and never find." That was kind of my story. But I'm glad you brought up the eating, because I was thinking it took me years to finally read something that said that the binge eating and the eating in general was covering, you know, just a way of covering over emotions, which now seems so, or, you know, avoiding, which now seems so silly, because it's like, well, what else would it be? But I always thought it was just, life is so dull and boring and painful that I was trying to find pleasure, you know, like, and
It might
eating was
start
the
that way. I
pleasure.
think for me, it started that way, but then it became a major coping mechanism. And then I realized actually it's not even a way to cope. It makes me feel worse, even though I can't stop. You know, that's a whole conversation, you know, but
Yeah.
it does cover, or it starts as some way to cope and cover over emotions, doesn't it? That's for sure. So, and those emotions intensify in us when we feel it's our fault that we can't fix this awakening thing, whatever it is, you know, get it right. Seek and not find, as you said, you know. So, just finding out for me that it wasn't, that I've been failing because I've been trying to do it the wrong way, and that I couldn't have seen that until I saw it. That was the fundamental thing. That it's only and ever been about my willingness to look at something, never the thing
Yeah,
itself.
that's huge.
Yeah, never the thing itself. I think A Course in Miracles says it, and I might be misquoting, but I'm not upset for the reason I think.
Yes, and that's one of the, when I tried that years ago, that was one of the, I never made it through the lessons, but that was one that I used to always go back to because I was always upset. So it's like, it was impactful and profound to me to question that for the, what the real reason was.
Yeah. And you can't see that till you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often we need someone who's come out of that and can see what the real challenge is to say, actually, that won't work. Do this instead, you know. And then you go, oh, no wonder I couldn't get that bit done because I was supposed to be over here, you know. But when you're stuck in it, you can't always have that clarity till after.
I don't know if this lines up with the willingness, but if you're like I kind of just asking how you handled it. Like when I'm like at work, I feel like I don't hate my job. This is actually one of the jobs I don't hate, but I do hate that I'm the only one. Like I live by myself now, so or my daughter, but I feel like I have so much pressure in the sense that work has to go well because I'm the only one working. But when I'm there, I don't really care. Like I get so frustrated with things. And then I think about like how, you know, like you, I don't know, like a normal human thinking, like what can I have to look forward to? And then I get trapped in this idea of like, you know, they're really like weight loss surgery should not be something you look forward to in the sense of like, it's kind of, I'm not trying to knock anybody that's had it because I'm going to have it. But that idea of like, it's something you feel like you shouldn't have had to do. So when I think about what do I have to look forward to, I'm like, oh, nothing. And then I just feel so defeated. Like I just have to work because I'm alive. And I know that sounds really depressing because I work with mental health patients. So that makes it, I feel like I can relate though to some of their struggles, but anyway,
the reason heavy thing to have to do anyway for a living,
because it's inpatient and they're struggling, and then I can't be struggling if they're struggling. So I try to always offer, and a lot of times the advice I give them, I try to take it myself. But in those moments, I have a hard time. I did listen to one of your things on your playlist that I found recently, just about kind of like not resisting the moment or something, and that was really helpful when I was anxious outside of work. So I was thinking about maybe trying that. But I was just wondering, like in those moments, can you? I don't know, question yourself on what you're not seeing or facing, or just because it's like that's when I get really stuck, where I'm just like, and I get mad at myself afterward because I'm just like, I'm not grateful, you know, for my life or anything in those moments where I'm just like, oh, like I'm stronger in the actual tragic moments, I guess. Maybe that's a human thing. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would actually pray at one point to have those same qualities, abilities, whatever, as I had in a moment of absolute, you know, when life falls apart. Why can't I do that in the supermarket? You know, when I'm just getting my food shopping, right?
Well, exactly.
But what I came to see was that I was feeling so deflated and flat because of all the energy it was costing me to push this thing away. When you stop doing that, a lot of energy is liberated, and that turns back into peace and joy. And a willingness to live and excitement about it.
Just like a little toddler, I swear, when you push her.
Mommy's talking to someone else, yeah? Let me in on that, yeah. So just in those moments, just if you can, and again, not blaming yourself if you can't, that's the key. If you can, just gently, what's this about, actually? You know, like, what's this about? It's just like a little opening, isn't it? Like what's going on here? Because there's something going on, huge response, a reaction going on. Just really gently. What's this about? I'd like to get a little insight here. Some not trying to fix anything, not trying to get rid of anything. Just can you feel the different energy in it?
Yeah, it's like a curious. It's gentler, really often.
Yeah, and that's just the way to kind of just get through those moments, because you won't be resisting while you're questioning. You know, sort of gently. And then the moment will pass quicker. Whatever needs to be seen, you know, insights will come quicker then.
Yeah, that would line up. Like the energy, like where you're coming from, I guess matters, you know, like, because a lot of times
it's the only thing you've got control over.
Yeah. Because like sometimes I would go sit and just try to center myself. I wouldn't even necessarily like meditate. Just, and this, I don't know why it happens a lot at work, because honestly, it happens a lot at home too. I'm on night shift. So when I can't sleep and I have day plans, I just attack myself, you know, and then I get more anxious. So I feel like I'm in those times, I'm able to just kind of sit and let things get quiet. And then Like when the anxiety drops, then you can usually relax enough to sleep. But when you have to be awake and you have to be functioning, I fall into this pattern because I work with other people that, are very vocal about how dissatisfied they are with their life, and so they have a lot of dark humor. And we cross like a busy street when we get off of work, and sometimes they're like, well, I'm gonna have to come back to work if I get run over. They're joking. They're not really like suicidal, but at this time, it's like I resonate. I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta come back here and pay for stuff. And I'm like, who is this that it feels so different than when I feel like almost freed from all
So it's
that,
just a shift now then. Instead of just getting through those moments and waiting till I feel calmer again, it's more like or hoping I can get to sleep. What's this insomnia about? What's it about actually? What's underneath? It's just again, just really soft curiosity in some way, whatever you can muster in that moment. Because we might get it to go away, but it's going to come back up again. If it's about some unwillingness, it's got to come back around again to give us another chance to examine it again. Yay.
Yes, of
Woo.
course.
Yeah. Wow.
That
I
does
think
make
we've
sense
covered
to me,
a lot of ground there. I think you've done amazing, really, really well.
Thank you.
Is there anything that
I can
you would
definitely
want
do
to
that.
say to someone who's in this position, the same position as you? Is there anything that you would want to say to them that might help them?
I think just knowing that there isn't like an answer to it, kind of like just talking with you about this and see, because I hadn't really seen it from that perspective. I wouldn't have thought, I would, except for maybe with the eating, I wouldn't really have thought I was being unwilling to see something. I would just feel stuck in my identity as Michelle and how, kind of that idea that like if things could just be better for Michelle, that's what my mind keeps telling me, even though it's been proven not to be true in the past. If things could just be better for you, Michelle, you wouldn't have to go there, you wouldn't have to try to, like the mind says, you wouldn't have to try to awaken. So I guess I would just say that I don't think there, I'm starting to see maybe there really isn't a dead end. Because even the other day, I was really feeling terrified and depressed and sad. And, just really, I don't think I'd gotten that, like even like some intrusive thoughts. And I was sitting up in the middle of the night and I was off. So I was trying to sleep. And I sat a little bit in quiet and I couldn't even, I was just so resistant, And then when I listened to one of your things about kind of, and it just was funny, the one I picked because I didn't do it on purpose. I don't think it was an accident that I picked the one that was like something on the lines of like accepting what is or something like that. And it shifted out of that. So I guess what I would just tell somebody else is that there's always a way like to see it differently. Or does it make sense to say there's always a way out of it? I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think
It
that's
makes
a
sense in
really
my
good
head.
point to kind of finish this on that. That's the worst thing, isn't it? Feeling like there's no way out. There might be a way out, there is a way out, but we can't see it. That's very different. That's slightly more empowering. And then, okay, what do I need to see here? It's just a very soft intention that'll help me. The way out of it will then present itself rather than like the right YouTube video or something will pop up. Yeah.
Right. I feel like you're not, you just think you're stuck. You're not really stuck. At least that's what I'm starting to see now.
It feels, boy, does it feel like it? Yeah.
That's definitely, definitely.
I used to say I figured out eventually that when I felt the worst or the most stuck, it was when life was going to give me a new tool or a new angle or something. My old one wasn't working anymore, right? It's time for an upgrade or something.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes, definitely. That's a really, I mean, sometimes hopeful doesn't, I don't know if hopeful is the right way to put it, but that's kind of like, it makes me feel like, like if you, like at that point, it'll just, something will shift you, something will be, give you an opportunity to shift out of it, which is helpful because that is, you really do think that you're, doomed or stuck or,
Well, you're doing amazing. And these challenges are the hardest any human being will face, trying to come out of illusion. So, you've picked the most intense battle of all, but the one that we end up winning, so that's where what I want to say. And thank you for
and it
doing.
doesn't like, thank you. It doesn't like have to be, I guess, like horrible, like the process. We, I guess it feels that way, but it doesn't actually have to be, maybe.
It's just that one idea, isn't it? The way I'm doing
Yeah.
it should work, and there's something wrong with me because I can't make it work.
Right.
That's hell in itself,
It
isn't it? Yeah, right there. When as soon as I start to realize maybe this way isn't supposed to work and there's something else, you know, that's what's different then. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for
Oh,
this.
thank you.
Yeah, it's been I'm sure extraordinarily useful for a lot of us, you know, and hopefully you can see I've been there too. So, you know, that's the only reason I can give this help is because I've been, and it's awful. It is like hell. I remember it very well. So,
Definitely. But thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it a lot.
thank you. Let me stop this recording. Thank you.